Today we celebrate Columbus Day. And I want to preach on it. Columbus Day is a holiday about which many people are deeply ambivalent. I think most of us. I want to make 3 points. One, Columbus was pretty typically European. Not typically in that he was an exceptional and bold person, but typical in his kind of philosophical outlook, just as most of us are. This has its positive as well as negative aspects, the upside and the downside of Western culture's celebration of the ego and that personal will and initiative that comes from the ego. And three, I want to emphasize that it's in embracing the whole, both aspects of this legacy, that we find or we approach, I think, the truth. And I think find insight regarding the human condition and how we can go forward politically. It has now been 522 years since Columbus, since his so-called discovery of America. It was really an invasion with accompanying genocide. We can be thankful for the writings of Bartolomé de las Casas, a Spanish historian, social reformer, and Dominican friar, who meticulously recorded the disaster in the Caribbean. Now, Columbus was a master mariner, fearless and indomitable. And these are not to be gainsaid. I lived on a boat for 3 years, and a good sailor is really good to have if you're in the ocean and you're trying to get somewhere. But for those same qualities that made him an extraordinary, the admiral of the Western Sea, rendered him rigid and unsuccessful on dry land. He made landfall on the Bahamas on this day, in 1492. Several indigenous Arawak Indians met him on the beach. He's the one who gave them that name. On subsequent voyages, he discovered Cuba and Hispaniola. To his dying day, Columbus believed that all of these places were in the East Indies, not the Caribbean. He was interested, really, in gold. Well, his sponsors were, and that made him very interested, too. And he employed the harshest measures to acquire it. Within 2 years of his arrival, half of the estimated 250,000 Indians on Hispaniola had died. Within 2 years. When it became clear that there actually wasn't much gold to be had, Columbus instituted slavery, kind of a second best kind of a ripoff, with centuries of disastrous results. By 1650, that is less than 60 years from his initial landfall, the Arawaks of the Bahamas and some of the other Caribbean islands were all dead. Two generations. In any case, it is no longer possible to simply celebrate Columbus's discovery as our ancestors did, and as Al did as a boy in New York City. In truth, however, it wasn't until the 20th century that we even celebrated Columbus Day, or much at all, for that matter. Americans as a whole have never been very interested in history. As Henry Ford famously put it, history is bunk. Our countrymen and women have more often looked to the future than the past. It was in 1937, kind of a payoff to the Italian-American loyal Democrats by FDR, that they made with that very strong Congress, democratically in Congress, they made October 12th a holiday. My point is that Christopher Columbus is a touchstone for conflicting values. As the late Mexican writer Carlos Fuentes put it, Columbus Day is not an occasion to deplore or celebrate. It's an occasion to reflect, which is what I'm trying to do. Most of us know something about Christopher Columbus. We've heard, we studied, we were told, we believe, and it's largely true that he was visionary, daring, persistent, brave, and an absolutely brilliant mariner. He epitomized and epitomizes in his person European values, Western culture's best and worst aspects. The good, individual initiative and will and get up and go, focus and struggle to strive. The bad, the other half of the same attribute, virtually no consciousness whatsoever of other people's rights. He planted the flag and claimed wherever he'd landed for Spain. Indians were condemned by pre-existing theory to be resources for exploitation and spiritual objects to be saved. That is all. This is to say that the Indian status as members of an independent community or nation was formally denied, even when easily and repeatedly demonstrated by force of arms. Now, these Indians, clearly they're a cohesive community and they have their own mojo, you know, but no, theoretically, and according to Thomistic Catholic theory, no, so that's all they needed. European conquest began and continued unabated with absolutely zero recognition of native rights whatsoever. This isn't to put Indian culture on a pedestal. In fact, Native American societies warred upon, tortured, and enslaved each other almost as piteously as did the Europeans. Cortez conquered Mexico in no small part because other Indians helped him to depose the overlording imperialistic Aztecs. What would have happened if the European conquest had never occurred? It's hard to say. The Incas and Aztecs would probably have abandoned human sacrifice and become literate. But would they have abandoned their collectivist cultures and their conviction that individuals have no legitimacy outside the theocratic state? Unlikely. In any case, Aztec and Inca traditions offer little hope for the status of women, equality before the law, religious tolerance, civil liberties, or other values that all of us hold dear and that derive almost exclusively from European culture. Indeed, we can be thankful, I think, all of us, not to be alive in pre-Columbian Mexico or Peru. But it was no heathen hellhole either. May not have been paradise, but it wasn't a hellhole, and it did not deserve to be stamped out. In their zeal to convert the natives, missionaries apparently forgot certain parts of the Bible, like Matthew 20:16 about how the last will be first and the first last, or five chapters later when it reminds the reader that come the day of judgment, it's not how many converts you've made, but how you've treated the least among you. The cry of the poor and dispossessed is not always just, but if you don't listen to it, you'll never know what justice is. Of all the legacies bequeathed by Columbus, the biggest and most lasting is the creation of a single world linked by a single international relations, a world dominated by Europeans and European ideas, and maintained by force and firepower. Just as 500 conquistadors conquered Mexico, so today a small fraction of the world's people, a high percentage of them white males living in London and Frankfurt and Santa Barbara, Westchester County, and Georgetown, control, with force of arms and armies, 99% of the globe. And ambitious adventurers curry their favor. Just as Columbus needed Isabella, Henry Kissinger needed Nelson Rockefeller and then Richard Nixon to make it big. And just as Isabella needed her army and navy to establish Spain as the preeminent world power, Rockefeller, Kissinger et al. Have needed America's military power to solidify their modern empires. And they've needed compliant citizens to help them accomplish these goals. America today, like Spain following Columbus, is the reigning superpower on a now single earth. Moreover, it seems to me we've enshrined in our country some of the contradictory and ambivalent values so poignantly exemplified by Columbus himself. Negatively, that means political arrogance, over-reliance on military power, and an imperialistic lack of understanding and respect for other cultures. This is tempered by what we must recognize as the West's good attributes: vision, courage, persistence and hard work, daring, and a commitment to modernity. All these are in the American ethos, too, exemplified, really. Vision, courage, persistence, hard work, daring, and a commitment to modernity. Make no mistake about it. For good or ill, we are all heirs in debt to Christopher Columbus. In the wake of his discovery, pre-Columbian America was obliterated. But all of us here, including Native Americans, have been transformed. Most of us at this point, I believe, thankfully. This coming Saturday, the Social Justice Committee, as Debbie pointed out and invited us to consider, is sponsoring a dinner and a movie about dreamers caught in America's immigration imbroglio. I hope you'll join me in attendance. My people, my ancestors, first came to America in 1620. My ancestor, William Brewster, wrote the Mayflower Compact. When I served a church in Santa Fe, New Mexico, I met people, members of my congregation, who'd been there longer than that. In fact, I met, Hispanic, who were there, about a generation and a half earlier, but that was nothing. I had a few Native Americans whose people had been in North America for at least 13,000 years. When trying to sort out America's current immigration mess, it's worth keeping in mind that almost all of the people streaming to our borders from Central America are mestizos, that is, Indians, natives, whose ancestors were here long before most of ours. Pilgrim forebears notwithstanding, most of my ancestors arrived on these shores far later, among the 35 million who came between 1830 and 1924. Some people arrived here in America this morning. Some were carried by their parents. Some were sent with a ticket by their parents. All were looking for a better chance in life, a greater opportunity and freedom, looking one way or another for the promised land described in Deuteronomy and read earlier by Worship Associate Al Danzig. It's clear to me, here in this country, we are all immigrants. A man of tremendous ego, Christopher Columbus, exemplified much that is good and simultaneously a great deal that is dangerous and reckless and out of balance, and that typically comes along with excessive egoism. And so, naturally, do each of us exemplify many of these same characteristics. It's a complicated legacy. In respect and humility, then, let us pray. O source of life and love, strengthen us, strengthen within us our resolve to recognize and seek to resolve wounds and injustices of the past while preserving what is good. Help us to see that imperialism and racial hatred are still with us today, evils in our current life that weaken us and do injustice to all that we hold beautiful and sacred. Enable us to eliminate these evils both in each of our hearts and in our world. Preserve in us a clearer vision of wholeness, that we may faithfully support just, humane, and wholesome efforts in all walks of our busy lives, at home, in our workplaces, and in our communities. May we be appropriately prideful and competent in all our endeavors. May we find strength and support to be full, responsible citizens and faithful stewards of our country's and our culture's best traditions, beginning now. So may it be. Shalom. Namaste.